You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the Flex League champ.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I wanted that to go right, and I didn't get it right. Flex League champion, Corey Parson. Yeah, there you go. Shout out to Fantasy Jocks, everybody, for this beautiful piece of hardware right here. That I'm going to help Scott win one of these, and I'm going to help you win one of these this year, too.
I've won many of them.
The King, Scott Angle.
Congratulations to Corey. He's obviously learned well from me. I remember when I met him in 2011, he said, "Gee whiz, Mr. Angle, how can I get one of those?"
I can assure you the words "gee whiz."
No, when I met Corey, he was like that. He was like, "Gee whiz, Mr. Angle, I really like to work with
Mr.
you.
Angle.
all your trophies, et cetera."
Why I sound like Stephen Fetcher? Gee whiz. Oh, I tell you what, I'm so proud of you.
Wall Street Man Boy Deacon, what's popping?
Oh, good morning. It's a great day. It's Monday. Feeling strong.
8 a.m. in the east, 5 a.m. waking up out there on the west coast. Feeling good here on a Monday morning. And you know who's also feeling good? Jay Cutler, who woke up and now he's about to be $10 million richer, Matt Modica.
Yeah, you know what, though? Look, if I got a chance to be a starting quarterback, I'm going to do it. But he did have a really nice job. And with all these, you know, injuries and CTE, it's kind of tough to walk away from that.
He certainly is. Scotty, you have this plush Fox job, and you left to become the quarterback of the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's kind of a downgrade in certain ways. But look, some guys just love the game, and they want a chance to get back. And, you know, it's you look at it from that perspective, it's rare to get to play in the NFL. And, you know, he could be broadcasting for the rest of his life. So maybe he wants to get one more year out of it, you know. Maybe he can. This is the team that made the playoffs last year. He's looking at it from positives. From fantasy, maybe we'll talk about how it helps Devontae Parker. Does it put down Jarvis Landry at all in your rankings? But I still wouldn't draft him in fantasy.
Corey Fox thanks Jay Cutler for his contributions over the last couple of months where he did nothing. So,
yeah.
Go Fox.
Well, here's the thing about it. You got to look at the situation where they had a three-man booth anyway. So they figured a situation like this could have came about. So you won't see Jay Cutler in the booth. You'll see him getting booed at by Miami Dolphins fans. But what you will see is a guy that you can draft in a two-quarterback league, a guy that's going to be in a one-quarterback league. At some point, he's going to be starting in your league. And Devontae Parker, in my opinion, his ADP is getting higher and higher.
How much higher are you raising Devontae Parker?
I moved
right
him
now?
Up 18 spots. Now, I was the low man on him anyway, but I can see Scott was a low man on him. Yeah. I can see the average industry expert that does their rankings, they probably moved him up more like 10 spots. I moved him into my mid-30s right now.
I was the high man already, so I'm just leaving him alone.
And Scotty, how much are you moving him up, my man?
I might move him up about 7 spots. Not like Dan Fouts is coming in there. And, you know, it's just Jay Cutler. And the guy as himself, you know, he's barely been a rosterable fantasy quarterback the last few years.
Devontae Parker potentially on the rise. We'll tell you somebody who fell in the Flex League draft when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning, rocking and rolling here on a Monday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Devontae Parker could be a wide receiver on the rise here with the latest Jay Cutler news. You got to imagine Ryan Tannehill will be placed in the IR shortly, given that he has once again partially torn that ACL. It's funny because I was reading over the weekend that they tested both his left knee and his right knee before training camp. His left knee, actually, which is the one that he tore his ACL previously, was stronger. He did all this exercise with it. But it may have been stronger, but his ACL was still partially torn. Now it's even more partially torn. So there you go, with Ryan Tannehill, who will be out for the year, and Jay Cutler, the new starting quarterback in Miami. Devontae Parker, though, probably the main benefactor and the main beneficiary, and he's the one that is rising up draft boards. But as we saw, Corey, in the Flex Leagues draft, there is a wide receiver that is screeching down draft boards, and that is wide receiver 21 when we went on Steve Gardner's team. That's Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson went in the middle of the fourth round here in the Flex League draft. As I said, wide receiver 21, after Martavis Bryant, after Keenan Allen, and after Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins. I always compare Hopkins and Robinson and kind of have them on the same level. I have them back-to-back in my rankings. I had this back-to-back in my rankings last year. You had Hopkins go as wide receiver 12, Allen Robinson went 9 wide receivers later. It's a big drop.
Yeah, that is a big drop for Allen Robinson. Listen, I've been saying from the jump, I'm willing to buy last year's trash. And at this point, I mean, this is an excellent value. This guy's still number one wide receiver in an offense. It's still going to be throwing the football. They're not. Leonard Fournette is not going to dominate the offense like that. I understand Blake Bortles has his issue, but like I said, this is still a talented number one wide receiver. Gets it done in the goal line. Nice possession threat. He should not be going this far down draft boards. Guys like Sammy Watkins, in my opinion, should not. Well, Sammy Watkins is not egregious because I can see people taking Watkins. But Martavis Bryant is the one that I really have the big problem with. Martavis Bryant should not be drafted ahead of Allen Robinson. That's a mistake right there. I understand, you know, Raph is my man, love the cat to death, but I didn't like that pick at all at that point in the draft.
Yeah, but Allen Robinson, you know, when he had his big year 2 years ago, that team was playing catch up a lot.
Now
it's going to be different this year because they're going to try to balance the offense more, give Blake Bortles more time to throw, etc. And if it does happen, Allen Robinson's quality of, you know, receptions, I think, goes down. It's not just, you know, where you look at playing catch.
What do you mean his quality of receptions?
I'm explaining it. You know, just
please do.
Try once in a while to let somebody finish. Now, anyway.
I do. Ding.
All right. I'll tell you what. Why don't you give all the analysis
ahead,
and
Scott.
I'll leave.
Say what,
okay?
You say what you want to say,
right.
Scott.
So anyway, Allen Robinson, you know, quality receptions. Because I think if this team has a more balanced offense, he's going to be facing more single coverages. There's going to be more scoring opportunities. It's going to be a better, more optimum offense than it was when he's getting sacked and throwing interceptions. So they're going to have more complete drives. So I think that will help Allen Robinson.
Scott, can I ask you a question? Would you put Allen Robinson and Leonard Fournette on the same team?
No.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. But the one thing with Allen Robinson is I have him, I think, 21st in my rankings. The thing here is he's still going to get red zone targets. You look inside the 10 the last 2 years, I think he's got 12 touchdowns and 25 targets. He still is that guy. And if Fournette is as good as we expect him to be, that should open him up there too. The thing that really dried up from last season was the downfield targets. I mean, you know, that just really, the deep ball just went south. I am just so down on Blake Bortles. I know it's early in camp, but the initial reports have not been good. And, you know, that's the main thing that's going to hold Jacksonville back this season is Bortles.
Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars, we've heard it before from Tom Coughlin, we've heard it from Doug Marrone, they're trying to run the ball every play. That's why Leonard Fournette here went in very, very early in the second round of the Flex League draft, because people are buying into this notion that Leonard Fournette is going to be not just a bell cow, but the main source of offense. And I agree kind of with what you guys are saying, that Allen Robinson, if they really are going to try to just slow the game down a little bit and run the ball more and just limit how much Blake Bortles passes, I can see why Allen Robinson is going where he is. I have him as wide receiver 19.
I mean, the counterpoint is, does it open up play action? If, like, Fournette is good, you know, that could be a boom to him. So, I mean, just write him off.
I read a really good series of tweets from Andy Benoit, the Monday Morning Quarterback, who was in Jacksonville on Friday, I believe it was, looking at training camp. And his point was that the offensive line is very bad in Jacksonville. I mean, it's terrible. And ultimately, Leonard Fournette is going to have to find his holes because the schemes are not going to be advanced enough to open up these wide ranging holes. So basically, a lot is going to be on Leonard Fournette to find the space. When it comes to Blake Bortles, he says that Bortles still has the same mechanical flaws he's always had, which he takes forever to get rid of the ball. It just takes so long for him to wind up and finally throw. And because it takes him so long, he winds up rushing and not fully going through his mechanics and thus throwing the interceptions
and making
the bad decisions. He said ultimately exactly what Modica just said, in that the best way for this offense to work is if Leonard Fournette has some success and they could use the play action to buy Blake Bortles time to give him the opportunity to lock onto an Allen Robinson, go through his full motion and mechanics, kind of like Roethlisberger takes forever to get rid of the ball, and then have some success.
And I agree. If it works like that, that's the way it should happen. But I worry about this offensive line. But guess what? They're going to be committed to running the football regardless of what the case may be. If they get in a situation where they fall too far behind and they have to throw, and Blake Bortles is doing the same stuff he did last year, let me tell you something. Tom Coughlin is going to have a coronary. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
He's not going to like that, especially if he's turning the football over. You know how Tom Coughlin is. You feel what I mean? But what I will say is this. One thing about Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, he will put Blake Bortles' ass on the bench.
Yeah, you'll see Chad Henne, like you say. You know,
it's interesting
that you're saying the thing about his release taking forever, because people used to say the same thing about Byron Leftwich in Jacksonville years ago. But, you know, to the point about running the ball and the offensive line not being good, that's one thing about Leonard Fournette. And all the scouts say it is like, Leonard Fournette cannot create his own running room. You know, that's an issue. You know, he's not elusive. You know, is he going to be able to anticipate and break enough tackles, you know, near the line of scrimmage? That might be an issue in terms of his week-to-week consistency. He's talented enough to have some really good games, but, you know, if you're going to take him as your RB1, you know, where Colt Savchik took him, you know, you have to remember that. Leonard Fournette blasted through some major holes in college when you look at the film. That's not going to happen in Jacksonville.
All right, so let me ask you, this is for everybody, and then the people driving too, but be careful. You feel what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you are comfortable with Leonard Fournette as your RB1.
I'm like half raised here.
Matt Modica raised his hand.
You know what? If I could start wide receiver somehow, draft Leonard Fournette as my RB1, I will raise my hand high.
That's not gonna happen.
You asked me if I would.
He's gone in the early third round in a couple of drafts that I've done.
Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper, Leonard Fournette is your RB1. You comfortable with that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I'll sign on for
you
that.
Comfortable with that?
Yes.
You comfortable with that?
No.
Me neither.
Well, I am.
I am too.
We disagree. But we don't have to fight about it.
No, we don't. So that was where Allen Robinson went in the flex, wide receiver 21. It's the next pick at RB19 that I'm going to have to talk about at 11 a.m. Eastern time today, the fantasy football best friends forever. And that's Eric Young was doing really well at crushing this draft. And then what did you call it, Corey?
Mouse in the house?
A mouse in the house. He took C.J. Anderson as his RB2.
I still would never refer to EY as Mouse in the House.
Corey had his chance.
Put that on record.
Corey had his chance to say something. He said that right there next to EY, not saying a word.
Of course he would.
When EY made the pick, I was like, yes, that pushes value right down the board. Because I had my cue set up, and I knew the only person that was going to mess it up was going to be the all-in kid. Yeah. And he sure enough did it. But you know what? It didn't work out too bad.
Eric Corey said to him, he's like, good pick. Very good.
C.J. Anderson goes there. I would have taken Ty Montgomery.
Yep.
It's still too early for Montgomery.
I'll ask EY about that decision coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern.
I think somebody hit him with a foreign object there.
Jake picks,
I wish he'd have been here this weekend. I'd have told him what Scott said.
Jake picks up Golden Tate. He'll be here next weekend. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. He's going to come in studio.
He'll also be
too.
Live on Studio of the Roto Experts, by the way, taking over.
That's right. It's the takeover. It's the EY takeover.
So he'll be live in Studio of the Roto Experts on the Frenzy and, of course, on the BFFs as well. Golden Tate went to Jake, who I know you wanted here, Corey, in the fourth round, and you came back with Michael Crabtree.
Well, here you go right here, what the Sealy does with Julio Jones, right? He got Mixon and McCaffrey as his RB1 and 2. Julio Jones, Golden Tate as his first two wide receivers. He has a lot of receptions on this team.
I love it. I got to say, those first five picks, the way it worked out for him, it just all came together. I mean, like I said, when I'm drafting, Mixon isn't going in the second round. McCaffrey sometimes going in the fourth round. Even Mixon goes in the fourth round sometimes.
But some of these in the higher stakes expert leagues. And you know in high stakes leagues, if you really like a guy, you got to move on.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. I don't have a problem. You know, yeah. If that's his guy. But
yeah,
there you go. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more flex, more headlines from the weekend here in the next 40 minutes until the Fantasy Football Frenzy comes your way here on the Red West Express of the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Sealy, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Couple of news and notes from this morning.
Oh, news.
In the flex. The Browns have announced their starting quarterback for preseason game number one.
Say it like Brock Osweiler. There you go.
Brock Osweiler is the starting QB for the Cleveland Browns.
In preseason game one.
Preseason game one.
Yeah, just maybe like more of like an audition for him.
Yep, that's so it.
Get yeah. That's what I look at.
Oh, he sucks. Next.
Hey, Miami, look. What if Cutler doesn't work out?
There you go, Brock Osweiler.
I mean, speaking of that, Matt Moore's got to be pretty pissed.
Yeah,
but it is what it is. No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you journeyman backup. You feel what I'm saying? So why aren't the Browns? I mean, well, I guess
he wanted to play for Gaze, number one. He wanted to play in Miami.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
They made the playoffs last year, so.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So you have that going on. Also, here this morning, we got a poll question up at FNTSY Radio. It had to do with your team, Corey Parsons.
Yeah.
In the flex draft. You started your draft out with Ezekiel Elliott at the fifth overall pick, and you followed in the second round with Dez Bryant. You took two players from the same team, your favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys. Scott, I said, listen, even if Dez Bryant was my number one player on the board at that spot, I don't love doing wide receiver running back. It would be a hard decision, but I think I would pass. Matt, Corey, and I were like, listen, we would probably do it ultimately. So we wanted to put it out to you. What would you do? You could vote at FNTSY Radio right now. We still have, of course, a ton of time left in the poll. We'll check on it tomorrow morning again. But as of now, it is 60-40 that they would draft Dez Bryant and Ezekiel Elliott, or just two players from the same team back-to-back. 60-40 right now in favor of doing exactly
I can't play scared that. Talking about, oh, well, what if in week 15 they score 14 points? I can't play like that. You feel what I'm saying? That's not the way that I'm going to go into a fantasy season. To me, that's a little bit too scary. You feel what I'm saying?
To me, that's diversifying.
Diversifying.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is the same guy that last week said he would always pick the best player available, no matter the size of the league, no matter the entry fee, nothing in fantasy football
is absolute.
Oh, that's one of your go-tos right there. Is nothing in fantasy football is absolute.
This is why.
That is one of your go-tos right there.
I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk, Corey, or I wanted to talk about it as well, and that was my man David Gano's.
Yes.
Team. Now, Gano's in the Flex League, which took place in D.C.
Shout out to David Gano's.
Well, I'm a big fan of David Gano's. It took place in D.C. over the weekend. It'll be one in New York. Is Jake popping in here on Friday?
Yeah, Jake will more than likely be in here on Friday.
Very cool. It's always good to have Jake in town.
I like that. I like it when Jake's in the building.
As do I. So, Gallo started his team, Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas.
No issue whatsoever. Anytime you get Demaryius Thomas in the third round, I think you go ahead and jump on that.
As your wide receiver three.
This start right here is stacked right here. I love the way Gallo started this thing out with Beckham, Cooper, and Thomas. I think Cooper is a player that's going to push into the first round next year. We know what kind of talent Odell Beckham is. So, as I'm watching him draft, I'm kind of thinking to myself, all right, let's see what he do with these running backs. And sure, I think he nailed it right here.
So would you draft Tevin Coleman over Ty Montgomery?
Yeah, I would take Tevin Coleman over Ty Montgomery.
Matt?
No.
Straight no.
No, look, I love Tevin Coleman. I know what he did last year. It's just you're asking a lot to reproduce last year, considering that Freeman is still there. Currently, I think Montgomery has that opportunity. You know, that's another high-powered offense. And what the kid did, going from receiver to running back, I don't think gets enough play, enough props.
Sure.
And now he has a full offseason. I know some people believe Jamal Williams is going to come in there, usurp that role. I think Jamal Williams at some point may have a role, but I think it's Montgomery is the lead dog in Green Bay.
Yeah, I agree with Matt mostly, except for on one point. You know, I would take Montgomery because you're looking at two guys who I believe are going to be in a timeshare, but I think Montgomery's going to be the lead guy in that timeshare, and he also passes back out of the backfield. You know, Coleman's a guy who can score from anywhere on the field, but I feel like he's more boom or bust a little more than Montgomery. I think Montgomery's still coming along as a running back. When you say he's had a full off season, it's not like he had a full off season actually do it on the field. So I think there's still some more evolution there, but I still would prefer him over Coleman.
I look at this, and I strongly prefer Ty Montgomery over Tevin Coleman.
I don't see how you can say strongly.
I do. Because I think one guy's a starting running back, and one guy is a co-starting running back.
Their numbers are the same.
I understand that. But to me, without Kyle Shanahan there,
a
without
lot more rushing
all
yards.
Those yards.
I'm not worried about that.
Yards after the catch, I'm nervous about it. I really am. I
can see you, but I was telling somebody just the other day, if the kid, put it like this, if Tevin Coleman give you a full complement of 16 games, he is going to score double-digit touchdowns. He's going to catch 50 passes. He may not run for as many yards as Devonta Freeman, but he is going to be a player in that offense. As long as he can stay on the field and give you 16 games, you can lock Tevin Coleman in for 10 touchdowns as an RB2, especially if you go wide receiver heavy, like my man David Gynos did. It really was it's no better pick for roster construction than what Gynos did with Tevin Coleman in the fourth round. Now, it's a little bit high, but he went and he got his guy.
People scooped up the running backs. But the difference for me, though, is if the Green Bay Packers are going to hand somebody the ball at the goal line, it's Ty Montgomery. If the Atlanta Falcons are going to do it, it's going to be Devonta Freeman. Well, so that's a difference for me.
Here's a question, and here's something that I see a lot happen in the high stakes in the NFFC. Coleman or Powell? And
oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, no, who are you going to take? They usually go in that sixth round.
Yeah.
So if you got to choose between one, I mean, I'm seeing Powell go in the fifth here. I think that's a really good value, considering that the running backs weren't kind of pushed up from where I usually see them go. So, look, I love everything about Tevin Coleman, but when you have a monster like Devonta Freeman there, it does give me, you know, reason to pause. Even in the sixth round, I'm like, you know what? I think Powell's on the way up. I think the sun's setting on Forte. And as much as he's probably the only Jet I would own this year.
Sure.
I mean, I don't even want Quincy. I want somebody else to.
Speaking of Quincy Enunwa, over the weekend it came out that he hurt his neck again. Neck injuries are scary, man.
Yeah, I was kind of pissed because I was hoping, like, I'm always happy when somebody else is going to take Quincy. I understand that he's their number one wide receiver. Somebody's going to get the ball. But if I'm going to take a Jet wide receiver, maybe it's like a Robbie Anderson real late. I don't want to be involved in the passing game. Where I will is with Powell, because, you know, dump offs, you know, you don't have to have a good quarterback.
Quincy Enunwa, as I said, hurts his neck. He said it's the same issue he had at June minicamp. But whenever I hear neck, Scott, I don't like it.
No, I don't think you can. But then again, you know, we can ask Dr. A about this, though. It's like I said, it's beginning of August here, so.
Neck's a little different, though. This is not a straight hamstring. This is neck. That's a very, very serious injury.
Yeah, I can see that. How much are you going to bump down your board?
I got to wait for more information, but I think, how much did they bump down the board here? I have Quincy Enunwa right now. Yeah, I bumped him down a lot.
How serious is the injury?
I don't know. I hear neck.
See, that's what we don't know. And look, two different sports, but I got to point out something, okay? Sure. In baseball, this past weekend, Travis Shaw got a neck injury.
Right.
And Inside Injuries was saying, we don't know how long he's going to be out. And then he was back coming off the bench yesterday. So you just don't know.
Well, so that's very different. You got tackled in football.
I'm saying it's very different, though, but, you know, a neck injury, it's like, you know, the guy got hit in the head by sliding into second base.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, I feel you, but nobody's going to hit him with a bat in his neck. You feel what I'm saying?
I know what I'm saying. Like I said, different sport. I obviously know, but what my point is, though, and Inside Injuries wrote about this, where exactly in the neck area is the injury?
Greg playing some Greg
well,
music.
Well, I was looking at, well, in a lot of... well, I mean,
who would you take, Quincy Inouye or Devontae Parker?
Devontae Parker.
Parker. Yeah, I dropped Quincy Inouye number 44 on my board.
But I do like what Dave did here in the fifth round getting Carlos Hyde. I mean, I think that's a nice back there in the fifth round. I've been a believer. I've been saying he's been a value. So,
and then, yeah, you're right. I like the Hyde pick. See, this is excellent job of roster construction that Gonos is pulling off right here. Then in the sixth, he comes back and get an excellent value on a player that I'm not in on this year in Greg Olsen. So, I mean, Gonos is cooking with gas. Gonos, Meany, and me is like kicking the rest of the league in the
I
ass.
Mean, I even like his seventh and eighth round picks, to be honest with you. I mean, for John, me, the Davis John Brown is a little early, but I do like John Brown there.
John Brown, Corey Davis. Yeah, no problem with that either. I like the Thomas Rawls pick, too.
Round 10.
Yeah.
Solid job from Gano.
It's a nice job.
So-called
nice
fantasy expert.
It's a nice job. I remember, by the way.
That's the name of his site. Corey's not insulting him.
Yeah.
I was going to say this. So the first time I met David Gano, I was sitting with Jake. And Jake's like, hey, David Gano, so-called fantasy expert. I'm like, dude, that was kind of dick. And he's like, it's his site. Like, yeah, I knew that, obviously.
Dave Gonos is the Jose Canseco of fantasy sports. He's worn many different uniforms and done it with a lot of good numbers. I remember you know, Dave coming to me at CBS Sportsline years ago and just knew he was going to be a great fit in this industry.
Now, on my team, through four rounds, right, because Jake sniped me on Golden Tate, through four rounds on my team, what I didn't like, I'll tell you about it,
yep,
especially when I had Zeke, Dez, Cooks, and Crabtree, I don't think I had enough catches on this team.
Which is why you drafted Jarvis Landry.
And then in the fifth round, I drafted Jarvis Landry because I think Jarvis Landry would be able to give me some more of those receptions.
I got to tell you, I think Jarvis Landry in the fifth is excellent value.
No, I
think so, too. And here's the thing. And everybody's talking about bumping up Parker and, you know, downgrading Landry. Jay Cutler, you know, we talk about he just goes to one guy. You know, maybe he can do it. Maybe he has the opportunity to do more now, but you can't assume that Parker's going to be that guy. Jay Cutler has never had a possession yardage after the catch receiver like Jarvis Landry that I can remember, especially
Brandon
in recent
Marshall
years. Those are not the types of receivers from a scouting perspective. Those are not the same type of receiver as Jarvis Landry. This is a guy that is a monster possession guy with great yardage after the catch. Jeffrey and Marshall are
Brandon
not those
Marshall
type of receivers.
Brandon Marshall is a Hall of Famer. That's going that get
you're,
over.
You're not listening
that
to me.
Get over 100.
You're not listening to me.
How is he not a possession receiver when he catch over 100?
You're not listening.
Every
it's
year.
A different type of receiver. This is a different type of receiver. He's never had a chain mover like this. Brandon Marshall is great, but Brandon Marshall is a different type of receiver.
No, Brandon Marshall is not a chain mover.
You're not listening to me. You know what? Just let you talk. I'll leave. We won't do the last half.
No, you got it. You next, guy. You got it. You explain how Brandon Marshall
is not a possession receiver. I'm going to have to explain it to you just like I taught you everything else.
Next on the Road Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups. Running back depth analysis. Rookie values in dynasty leagues. Deep sleepers. Training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Before we hit the break, I was kind of lauding Corey Parson's selection of Jarvis Landry in the fifth round. What is wide receiver 26? Corey Fantasy Pros, he's going off the board as wide receiver 20, so you got a little bit of value there.
Yeah.
Corey, couple of picks. Martavis Bryant went as wide receiver 20 here in this one. So it's, you know, it's really like a round. So it was nice value, I thought, with Jarvis Landry, possession wide receiver. Back to back with Emmanuel Sanders, who I actually also like for Jake. So this kind of crew of wide receivers I was really in on with Golden Tate, Michael Crabtree, Stephon Diggs, Jamison Crowder. Crowder going before Landry is really interesting, too, by the way. Landry, would you have done that, Crowder over Landry?
No,
I wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't have done that either. And just to finish illustrating my point, okay, Corey, Brandon Marshall was a big target, do everything, catch touchdowns, make possession catches. Jarvis Landry's a different kind of receiver, kind of like in the Golden Tate kind of mold. High percentage, run after the catch. And Jay Cutler's never had that sort of receiver who has been an excellent is doing it at that sort of level. He's never had that type of target.
I'm not going to argue with you, Scott.
Seriously? He's arguing for the whole break. Now you won't come out of the air.
All right, so put it like this.
Well, what happened
What's
was...
What's one of the knocks against Brandon Marshall, Scott? He don't score touchdowns.
There was a time that he was scoring touchdowns, though. It's not like Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry's not built to be a red zone guy.
I mean, if you say that, that's fine. But Brandon Marshall wasn't scoring touchdowns through the majority of his career either. The knock against him was that he didn't put up enough touchdowns.
They're different.
Both of them are chain. You said that he's not a chain mover. Jarvis Landry is a chain mover. Jarvis Landry can catch 95 balls. Brandon Marshall, in his peak, in his prime, was catching 95, 100 passes year after year.
No, what I'm saying is, Brandon Marshall, there were years that we were scoring touchdowns. Brandon Marshall is a do-it-all type of guy. From a scouting perspective, they are a different type of receiver. One is a big target, you know, who can do just about everything. That's why he may go in the Hall of Fame. The other guy is a different type of guy. Catch the ball, move the chains, run after the catch. Jarvis Landry can't do everything that Brandon Marshall did in his prime.
I just worry about...
They're different types of receivers from scouting perspectives.
All right, that's cool. I worry about with Landry is if they decide they don't want to pay him and they start to phase him out the offense. That's what I worry about with Landry. Mm-hmm.
That is something that should be of a concern because they have not committed to him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they've had the opportunity. So are they going to see if maybe Parker steps up this season? He's the guy they'll go with the cheaper version and all that kind of stuff.
So there you go right there. Then Jake takes Sanders off the board. Then we get the first quarterback. Takes the first quarterback.
Expert League draft. Fifth round is first quarterback taken. Aaron Rodgers back-to-back with Gardner taking Tom Brady. Back-to-back quarterback in the fifth round. Matt, does that feel right to you, fifth?
If Aaron Rodgers is there in the fifth, that's a home run. Yeah, no. I would definitely, fifth round to me, like I said, you see Rodgers and Brady. You know, I'm usually getting Breeze in the fifth round. You have to pay up higher. In a high stakes, but in this, look, if they're going to let everything wait, even Jake, who is notorious for saying he's not going to draft a quarterback and wait, he took the value of Drew Brees a couple of rounds later. I mean, that to me is, I don't care if it's even 4 points. That's a little insane to wait to the seventh round. So, yeah, fifth round, I'm in. I know it's the 4 points, but Rodgers is elite, Brady's elite. And Breeze is elite as well, and you get him two rounds later. That's more of the home run pick for me.
I look at the Flex League draft, and what I kind of found interesting was, as I mentioned before, was Alshon Jeffery. Scott, you've been very, very high on Alshon Jeffery. We had Jeffery go in the third to Jim McCormick, and Jeffery returns to practice after the shoulder injury. And this Eagle wide receiving core has been a... I don't want to use interesting again, but like intriguing,
here
not intriguing, disgusting. I don't know what to make of it because
Nelson Aguilar is being.
That's what I'm getting to. Jeffery hurt his shoulder, comes back to camp, fine. Torrey Smith, really haven't heard a bunch of Pete from.
Nope.
Jordan Matthews in the slot, but he had this knee issue that's just not going away. And now everybody's talking about Nelson Aguilar's a different person, a different player, a different wide receiver than we have seen over the last couple of years in Philadelphia. He's playing the slot. He has found a home. He looks great.
You know what Nelson Aguilar is? Jared Cook in the slot. That's what he is. We're going to hear this forever. I just fear he's not going to produce. As far as the Alshon Jeffrey pick goes, though, as much as I like Jeffrey, there were like at least five wide receivers I would have taken over him at that point.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Pretty much everybody that went after him in the third round, I would have taken over him.
Not Demaryius Thomas, Scott.
No. But most of those guys that like went after him, Cooks, Pryor, Watkins, Adams, then in the next round, Allen Robinson, Golden Tate. I might have not taken Golden Tate over him. By the way, Brandon Marshall, your point about touchdowns, four seasons of double-digit touchdowns.
Was one of them with the Jets, right?
Yep.
Two was when he was reunited with Cutler in Chicago.
And five of at least eight.
There you go. Yeah. Brandon Marshall improved with touchdowns as he got older, which what you were saying, Scotty. Looking at Scotty's updated PPR ranks, it was updated on July 27th, so about a week or so
ago. Yeah, I'm going to update him again this week.
You update him again this week. You had... Oh, I just screwed this up.
Don't copy mine.
I don't have to do that.
Yeah, now Alshon Jeffrey ranked.
You learn everything you knew from me.
Do I have to show you this, Scott?
I do want
to
make clear.
See, that's new for you.
Do I have to show you this, Scott?
That's new for you. Congratulations.
You might want to copy.
Congratulations.
You might want to copy.
No, I got these when they first made them, okay?
I do want to make clear. You had Alshon Jeffrey ranked 18. One of the other people you would have taken, not taken Alshon Jeffrey over, you would have taken Alshon Jeffrey over, was Amari Cooper.
What's that?
You were taking Amari Cooper after Alshon Jeffrey. You sticking with that?
I'm probably going to change
he's
that.
He's going to update that. He looked at my cheat sheet. He said, let me update this.
Well, I looked at your cheat sheet and I chuckled.
You can get a peek at Scott Angle's cheat sheet inside the RotoExperts exclusive Edge package right now. It's available when you use SusMania to check out. You get 20% off RotoExperts.com/bigdeal. We'll get you to the page. You enter SusMania in, you get some shekels off. It's a pretty good deal. Also, if you want a peek at Corey Parsons' cheat sheet, check out the Executive Edge package. It's $20. Get in there right now. I know Corey will really appreciate it.
No, I definitely will appreciate
that.
And
then you chips
can, in the promo code chips, yeah. And then you can have stuff like this because that's what we do.
Wrapping up here, the football talk on a Monday.
What do you mean wrapping up the football talk?
On the Roto Experts in the morning.
Oh.
And then we hit the fantasy football friends.
Oh, what the hell are we talking about next? Is trade deadline or something? Yo, Adam Ronis gained 20. I had a 20-point lead on Adam Ronis in 2 weeks. That MF is sitting right behind me right now, like 4 points. I'm like, what? Where did he come from?
You're getting nervous.
That can happen in baseball really quick.
You're getting nervous. I wanted to bring up
like
your
Mike Cardano dropping about 40 points in a month
Scott,
and a half.
Scott, you still are right next to him in the standings.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Why don't you do an update, Sussman? Hit refresh. I'm about 10 points ahead of him.
Okay, hold on. I'll do a refresh. Yeah. Scotty has 76 points, and Cardano has 64 points. That is correct. But they are both...
Almost a 40-point drop.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, what place are you in? That's what really matters.
Ahead of him, the team name is Beat Angle.
It is? That is true. Scotty sits in eighth place currently.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to football. And maybe I should save this for tomorrow because I know how passionate you are about how much you hate Zach Zenner. But Zach Zenner is getting first team reps inside the five over the weekend. So all you Amir Abdullah lovers, pump the brakes.
Where are they?
Well, they're not at this table, but they do exist. People love Amir
Abdullah. Actually, Chris Ventura, yeah.
People love Amir Abdullah. And they think he's going to come in here. He's going to get 300 or so carries, and they're just wrong. He's like, it's not going to happen. Number one, he's not going to stay healthy. Number two, he's not going to be the goal line back. You know, Theo Riddick exists. There's a lot not to like about Amir Abdullah.
There's really no reason to put Amir Abdullah on your fantasy team.
I agree, Jake put him
on his team in the flex. I'm going to ask him about that when we start the fantasy football frenzy. You know what I mean? But I can't get involved with Amir Abdullah. I'm always going to like somebody better.
Theo Riddick.
He's got to drop a little bit too far. And even if I have him on a team, it'd be like a $25 best ball. I'm not putting no
Kareem
kind of
Hunt
cash.
Hunt was the next pick after Amir Abdullah.
I know what I'm doing, Scott.
Yeah.
As soon as I took Zeke, I was like, I got to figure out, I'm going to hammer these wide receivers and I'm going to get Kareem Elliott in about the sixth or the seventh. I mean, Kareem Hunt. Excuse me. I said Kareem Elliott.
I knew you meant.
Sorry.
You kind of fused them together.
I don't want nobody going around looking, where's Kareem Elliott at?
How do you spell Elliott?
E.
Kareem Elliott?
It would be like the same way you spell it.
Same way as
yeah, but it's no Kareem Elliott.
P. Ryan went over around later. I would have done that.
Interesting. So, by the way, we're talking about Amir Abdullah. So, a text message saying, I love him. Who? I will be drafting my buddy text. He's listening to the program. He's in on Amir Abdullah. He says, I love him. Me. I love Amir.
Well, your buddy's wrong.
That's why he won't have.
He won't have one of those. Oh, look at
this. Right here,
shout
baby.
Shout out to Fantasy Jocks.
Right here. Fantasy Jocks.
Shout out to FantasyJocks.com. They get your championship belts made for your league champion. Obviously, if I'm in your league, you won't get the belt. You know what I'm saying? But the executive edge, ding, for 2017 and help you be like me, Fantasy Jocks. Get that big belt right there. It's got good weight to it. You know what I'm saying?
And nice leather.
And it's nice leather, too.
Why is your name engraved on
it? Nah, Jake didn't pony up for the name engraving, so I may have to do so myself. You know what I'm saying?
You may have to get it. Like, get rid of these stars and just put...
Fantasy executive on it right there. So yes. There you go right there.
Did it have its own bag today when you came in?
No, I didn't bring it I did bring my bag, so it was in my bag right there. You feel
it's
what I'm saying?
It's heavy, man.
Feel that, Scott.
I know what this feels
that.
Like.
Feel that, Scott.
I know what that feels like. Corey,
feel
he wants Scott. Me to feel it.
Corey, you can't go down the hill with that. It's going to get stolen from you.
I know I got to walk down the hill with this. Now, anybody going to take nothing from me, Greg. Not in my neighborhood. They already know the fantasy executive.
You probably should just leave that here.
It might get taken here.
Scott might take it home with
him. Put it in his collection, his non-existent collection.
Well, it exists, all right.
We're going to wrap up this portion of the Road to Experts in the Morning block. Find out what's up next for the next 2 hours, Fantasy Football Frenzy. I'm excited to hear Jake defend his team and drafting Amir Abdullah when we return. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we roll on and wrap up our show next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Final Five for the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, Matt Modica, Wall Street, and of course, the all-in kid, the Commissioner of the Flex League, Jake Seeley, who will be in town, in the house, hopefully Friday, at least in town over the weekend. Always get to chill with Jake.
No, definitely it is good times when the all-in kid is around, when he gets up here to New York and get in the studio. So it'll be good times to have Jake in here coming up this weekend. And, of course, we'll have the Flex over at the GST. So definitely looking forward to that after the big weekend this weekend. So coming up on the Frenzy, we'll talk a little bit more about this Flex League, go over some of the news and notes from over the weekend. Obviously, the Jay Cutler situation, see how rankings are adjusted for guys like Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry. So got a big program coming up. Make sure you tune in. Keep it locked right here on the television side and obviously on the FNTSY radio app. Make sure you hit us up on that one also. And I need the phones to start ringing because we're getting too close to people starting their drafts up, and I need to talk to my people.
And also, if you go to rotoexperts.com right now, you can get Jake's complete breakdown of the Jay Cutler signing and also the exclusive Edge package, Edge of the King, at checkout for a 20% discount.
Ding.
Do you want to give you one final update on our poll question today, which was, would you take two players on the same team with the first two picks of the draft? Scotty says no. The other three of us say yes. 61% of the people agree with us.
And Scott, you wouldn't start a draft, Le'Veon, but say Bell gets suspended again. Like, say he find a bud of marijuana in in his locker, right? Well, in his piss, because his locker is already one in there.
Something will happen. Yeah, so something happened.
And Le'Veon Bell falls into the second round. You wouldn't start a team, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell?
I don't think I could do it.
I would.
Seriously?
No, I can't do it.
It's old school.
Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, two top four players.
He worries about wow. One game when the Pittsburgh Steelers of all team going to score 12 points.
Wait a minute. You're saying one game he's going to drop to the second round? You make it sound like more than that.
No, I'm saying you're saying, well, what if in week 15 the Pittsburgh Steelers score 12 points? Score 78?
It's not just based on that, though. It's like, first off, I'm not going to get that opportunity. But anyway, just to humor you, let's say if he gets suspended for 4 or 5 games, right? He drops in the second round. First off, he's gonna. That's more than what Ezekiel Elliott we're talking about. Second off, it's not just, you know, the one game, but it's like game flow. And like, if Le'Veon Bell has a big game and scores three touchdowns and the running game dominates, and that hurts the passing game, and Antonio Brown doesn't do something, I don't want to be dealing with that.
And what if Antonio Brown scores two touchdowns in the first quarter, Le'Veon Bell just runs wild the rest of the game?
It could happen. What I'm saying is,
I would definitely take those two guys.
It's too boom or bust for me. I don't like to do it.
That's crazy. I mean, you'll take Antonio Brown or you'll take Le'Veon Bell.
But he can't have him on the same team. Stretching.
Wow.
Lifting up all my trophies.
You don't have no trophies. There's no trophies. Scott. Bring them in.
Virtual
bring them in.
Trophies.
I'm going to need a truck to bring those in.
You're going to need a truck to bring in trophies, yes. Scott. You haven't won a chip in like 4 years. What are you talking about?
You brag about the Yankees from 1942. They haven't won in 8 years, yet you brag about them, right? I told you everything you know. You first met me. You were like, Mr. Engel, nice to meet you. Can you please teach me how to win?
I'm going to get Cardano to make fun of you for not winning.
Yeah,
chips.
Cardano who just dropped 40 points in a month and a half in the league.
You got to lose that one.
Yeah.
That
no, one. I don't. I don't got to do nothing except stay a Kiss fan and die.
Kiss is over it.
Yeah. So are you.
That's the real dagger. That's the real dagger. To the heart. Corey, I just want to ask you one final takeaway here from the Flex League draft. What was your least favorite pick that you made?
The least favorite pick that I made, I didn't like going with DeSean Jackson in the seventh round, to be honest with you. I'm starting to get a little bit too much of DeSean Jackson's on my team, and I'm like, wow, and I got him as a flex. He's going to be in my starting lineup, and I'm like, that kind of worries me, even though they're using him more and more, and so far in Camden, using him more and more in goal line situations. And obviously, you know, Jameis Winston is not scared to bring the ball out there to him, but it just, the wide receivers that I like going after him just wasn't there for me, so I'm like, I gotta go D-Jax.
Real quick, before we get off the air, you started Dez and Elliott. Did you almost go Terrence Williams over Brandon Cooks in the third round?
Scott, when you win a championship,
fantasy football frenzy is up next. For Wall Street Matt Modica, for Gabe Scott Engel, and for fantasy executive Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. See you tomorrow here on the Road to Action. Bye-bye.